The name of the sermon today is Identity. Identity, actually part two of this sermon. I began part one by reading a poem. The title of the poem is Who Am I? I want to read a bit of that for part two here. Who am I? My first answer would probably be my name, but my name does not describe who I am on the inside. I could then give the title of my profession, but that is what I do. I could then tell you I am a wife, a sister, and a daughter, but those are my relationships. I ask again, who am I? I could describe myself as an extrovert and outgoing. That is my personality. I am organized in planning events, but that is a gift God has given me. I could describe my appearance, but that is not who I am either. So many times I have believed what others say I am. If I receive affirmation, then I feel worthwhile. However, when I receive criticism, then I feel like a failure. I have chosen to ride the roller coaster of emotions instead of believing the truth of what God says about me. And that is a poem, Who Am I? By Shelley Hitz. So just what does God say about you? Who are you? What is the answer to our question, who am I? My purpose today will be to see exactly what God says you are. First, let us list a few elements you are not. Who you are is not your work, job, or career, your family, marriage, or children, your education, intelligence, or IQ. It is not your financial status, income, stewardship, or bank account. It is not your health, diet, or exercise. It is not your piety, Bible study, work in the church, or tithing. It's not your personality, honesty, or giving nature. It is not your hobbies or pastimes. Whoever you are is merely reflected through these things. Let us go now to the throne of God to find out just who you are. And so we went through a number of questions in part one, and we got down to Philippians 4:7, and we're going to pick it up again in Philippians with the first question of part two. Does God supply all your needs? Does God supply all your needs? Philippians 4, and verse 19, Philippians 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. And what we found out in part one as we went through and asked these questions and gave the verses from which they originate, we see that we're finding out not only who we are, especially in relationship to God, but we're finding out a lot about God in all of these scriptures being in one place. So we see that God is with riches, according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Have you been made complete in Christ? Have you been made complete in Christ? Colossians 2, beginning in verse 9. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So you're being made complete. He's put you into a salvation process, and he's going to complete his work in you. Have you been raised up with Christ? Have you been raised up with Christ? In part one, we read Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. This verse goes along with that one. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Have you been raised up with Christ? Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So you are a person who has been raised up with Christ. I would think that these are great descriptors and great answers to the question, who am I? Is your spiritual life safe and hidden with Christ in God? Colossians 3 and verse 3. Is your spiritual life safe and hidden with Christ in God? Colossians 3:3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So he has control of your life. He's going to see it through. If your spiritual life is currently hidden, when will it be revealed? If your spiritual life is currently hidden, when will it be revealed? Colossians 3:4, the very next verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we are individuals who are looking for the return of Christ. We are first fruits. Are you chosen and beloved by God? Well, that's got to be one of the greatest descriptors of who am I. Are you chosen and beloved by God? Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So, you are the elect of God. Have you been called to be a saint? Have you been called to be a saint? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So you're actually seeing two descriptors here. The fact that you have been called to be a saint, so you're a saint, but you're also sanctified. And we've had a number of discussions, and we're going to have a number of more discussions on sanctification. Because the more we know about being sanctified and understanding the sanctification of all things, the purpose of all things, it guides us in what we do and what we think. It helps to define who we are. The more we know about sanctification, the more we know who we are. Do you know your election of God? Do you know your election of God? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. You'll notice a lot of these descriptors come early in the letters of Paul. He describes the people he's writing to. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So you are elect of God. Have your sins been canceled out? Have your sins been canceled out? We were talking last night at Bible study on how sometimes we have bad days and we're feeling in wonderment about our calling. And sins get us down. Sins bring us emotions that are negative in nature. You need to know that your sins have been canceled out. You're in a process where they are constantly being canceled out. It's a part of repenting of our sins. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14, to answer the question, have your sins been canceled out? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And again, you're seeing all through these specific scriptures that have been gathered together to answer the question, who am I, that we see Christ in virtually every one of them. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? Colossians 1 and verse 4. Colossians 1 and verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So we are individuals who love the brethren. And we are part of that brethren. Are you cleansed from all unrighteousness? Are you cleansed from all unrighteousness? 1 John 1 and verse 9. going right along with the gift God has given us of repentance. He's allowed us to repent of our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to understand, sometimes our level of faith drops. We have a bad day. But we have to understand, he never has a bad day. It says right there in the verse, he is faithful and just. His faith is always going to be at 100%. And we are individuals who are in a process trying to approach moving absolutely towards having the same faithfulness that he has. Are your sins forgiven for Jesus' namesake? Are your sins forgiven for Jesus' namesake? 1 John 2 and verse 12. 1 John 2 and verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. So a lot of who we are has to do with the name of Jesus Christ. He has, whoever we were before he called us is no longer. We are now answering the question of who are we now? Once we've been called, we're in the salvation process. Who am I? What am I doing here? Why did God call me? These are questions we ask ourselves all the time. These verses are answering that question. God has a plan. He's bringing you into his family. Are you headed for victory? Are you headed for victory? Revelation 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The ultimate answer to who am I? I am a son of God. If I stay in this process, it's a given that I am a son of God. It says, he that overcometh, that is defined as he who stays in the salvation process, because you cannot be in the salvation process unless you're overcoming. And overcoming is possible only in the salvation process. So you stay in the process, it's a guarantee that you're headed for victory. Has Jesus set you free? As Jesus set you free, John 8, beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And clearly they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. But we know what he was talking about. We are his disciples. We are the sons of God. And the reason we are is because we know truth. And that truth is setting us free. It's clearly setting us free from who we were and are no longer. We are now sons of God in the salvation process. Are you strong? Are you strong? Ephesians 6 and verse 20. Ephesians 6 and verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you're one of a very few number of people on this planet that have a boldness that nobody else has. There's a lot of people on this planet that are strong in their own right. That is, they are in positions of power and therefore act boldly. But nothing compared to the boldness that we have, because we have a strength so much greater than theirs. There's nobody on this planet stronger or bolder than you. You have the greatest power in the universe. Are you dead to sin? Are you dead to sin? Two verses in Romans 6. Two verses in Romans 6, verses 2 and 11. Are you dead to sin? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Verse 11, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there you see Jesus mentioned once again. So in all of these verses that God has given us to show us who we are, we see the name of Jesus Christ throughout. He is the one we are becoming like. Are you more than a conqueror? Are you more than a conqueror? Romans 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Are you feeling any power in all of this? God is showing you that you have great boldness and great power through Jesus Christ and the power by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you accepted in Jesus Christ? Are you accepted in Jesus Christ? Ephesians 1 and verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we are accepted in Jesus Christ. We are just a few people right now becoming like Jesus Christ. So we are accepted in him. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's by his grace, by his pardon, that we're able to be who we are today. Are you crucified with Christ? Are you crucified with Christ? I would suspect if you're going to be like Christ, you must be crucified with him. Colossians 2 and verse 20. Colossians 2. And verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? So you are crucified with Christ. You died with him. And by his death, you were able to be called one crucified with Christ. Are you qualified to share in his inheritance? Are you qualified to share in his inheritance? Back a couple of pages to Colossians 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we are inheritors of Christ. We are part of an inheritance. I would think that would define who you are. Are you born of God, and is it a fact that the evil one does not touch you? Are you born of God, and is it a fact that the evil one does not touch you? 1 John 5 and verse 18. 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Which is to say, in two different ways. One is if you're born of God, you become a spirit being, you'll sin not. At the same time, we could couch it this way. We know that whoever is born of God, brought into the salvation process, is no longer under the power of sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So you're in the salvation process. By the power of God, he cannot approach you. Using the name of Jesus Christ, he has to back off. And that is who you are. You are one in which he cannot touch you. Are you a faithful follower of God? Are you a faithful follower of God? Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So there's three designations of who you are. You are called, chosen, and faithful. Are you the light of the world? Are you the light of the world? We're going to be having a whole sermon series on this. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Are you the light of the world? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So you are the light of the world. Who am I? I am the light of the world because Jesus Christ is working in and through me. He is producing the light in and through me. Are you the righteousness of God? Are you the righteousness of God? 2 Corinthians 5:21. And again, the righteousness of God is flowing in and through you by Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, for are you the righteousness of God? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, Jesus Christ. He led the way. He's given us the example. We are following after that righteousness. Are you healed by the stripes of Jesus? Are you healed by the stripes of Jesus? 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed and are healed. Every time we pray over someone to have God heal them, we mention those stripes, and by those stripes we are healed. Are you being changed into his likeness? Are you being changed into his likeness? 2 Corinthians 3:18 that I mention very often from this chair. It is a great descriptor of the salvation process. We are being changed into his likeness. And you'll see a link in the text that'll take you over to a sermon on that particular verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So by the power of God that we have in us, we're able to go from glory to glory. And that, now this is very interesting wording, but here's what it means. We all the first fruits, with open face, beholding the gospel. So the word of God is spirit. So that open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, is us looking into the word of God, immersing ourselves into the word of God. And in there, we learn all about godly principles, and we learn all about God and Jesus Christ, who they are, and how we are to be like them. And then it says, you are changed into that image. So we see the image of God and Jesus Christ in the word of God. And we're being changed the more we immerse ourselves and maintaining that immersion in the Word of God. We're changed. You can't stop it. it's automatic. You're going to be changed into the same image. Now, how are we changed into the same image? Well, it tells you from glory to glory. Every time you invoke the power of the Holy Spirit and you do that in prayer, in Bible study, in meditation, in manifesting the principles of God, the fruits of the Spirit, you created a glory. That's a glorious event. That's a forever event that goes down in the annals of eternity. And so you go from glory to glory. And in that process of going from glory to glory, God getting all the glory, by the way, you are being changed into the same image of Jesus Christ. You're becoming like him. It's a fascinating a verse that says it all, gives you the exact procedure and how it automatically happens. Are you a work of God that will be finished? Are you a work of God that will be finished? Well, you would think 2 Corinthians 3:18 would show you how exactly that works. But let's look at Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6, for are you a work of God that will, all caps, be finished? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, the previous verse is showing that we are being changed into the same image of Jesus Christ and therefore God. What is God doing in Philippians 1:6? He is declaring that he has begun a work in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we are becoming like him, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to stay in that work. We're going to stay in that salvation process until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you receiving grace and peace from both God and Christ? Are you receiving grace and peace from both God and Christ? Romans 1:7. We're going through the mundane part of this life, the human part of this life, the day-to-day workings of this life, and we are also going through a spiritual life, and we need to know that we are in grace, that we have that constant pardon and that ability, that invitation, constant invitation and placement into the salvation process where we find peace. You cannot help but have peace, manifest peace, and be at peace if you're in the salvation process. Romans 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a pretty bold statement by Paul. He had to know that that was true. It's right there in the Word of God. Are you firmly rooted, established in my faith, and overflowing with gratefulness and thankfulness? Speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ, are you established in his faith? Colossians 2:7. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you are established in the faith. Gave a whole sermon on that. Are you a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God? He uses all these different designations for us so that we know who we are. And he gives us more than one. He gives us a complete list of who we are. So we are overwhelmed. That's the whole idea here, is for your human mind with God's Spirit in it to be overwhelmed with the answer to the question, who am I? He's giving us so much information that we cannot help but be strengthened by it. And that strength comes with being overwhelmed with the truth. And this truth is going to put you at peace. So are you a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God? Ephesians 2 and verse 19. You'll see what we were in this verse and what we are now. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Who am I? I am of the household of God. You'll see that in a lot of movies that date back to the 15 and 1600s. People would tell you who they were from what household they came from, what family line they came from. Well, you are of the household of God. Are you a member of Christ's body? Are you a member of Christ's body? 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are of the body of Christ. Are you a first fruit who died with Christ? Are you a first fruit who actually died with Christ? Romans 6, beginning in verse 1. Romans 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we're no longer serving sin. We are a first fruit, becoming like Christ. Have you overcome the world? Good question for one wondering, who am I? Have you overcome the world? 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So our faith is all about victory. I know that there's going to be days when we don't feel so great spiritually and we're down on ourselves. You have to go to this list that you're going to see and see just exactly who you are, and you can overcome all these problems. As I stated at the beginning of part one, with this information that you are getting, there is no goal that cannot be met, and there is no problem that cannot be overcome. Can you do all things through Christ? Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So any of the times you're feeling low, it's usually when the focus is on the human self. We all have those days. But we have to understand that we can do all things, including overcome those days, through Christ which gives me strength. All of these designations, all of these names, all of these answers to who am I are power for you to overcome anything that is making you feel less than you should. Do you have the power or ability to know spiritual things of God? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. All of these scriptures are freely given to us of God, and they all answer the question, who am I? Is Christ living inside of you? Is Christ living inside of you? Galatians 2:20. And that's a pretty powerful statement. Sometimes I think that the human mind can't comprehend some of these questions. Is Christ living inside of you? What a remarkable thing to say. I don't even think he could barely go out into the world and say something with such audacity. They would think you were a nutcase. Is Christ living inside of you? Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a very powerful statement, which I think could only be uttered among first fruits. The world would not understand that concept. Are you a person with enough boldness to go into the throne room of God? I always have people meditate on that. You're just outside the throne room, and your name has been called. You're just about to go in to the throne room of God. Do you have enough boldness to do that? Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Because if you have this kind of boldness to see yourself actually going into the throne room of God, which we have done many times actually, then you can overcome anything. If you have the boldness to go into that room, you have the boldness to overcome any problem, any blockade in your path. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. You can take possession of that mercy and find grace in help in time, to help in time of need. This is the very verse that I'm talking about. There are times when we are in need. And this is what you do in those times of need. You have to know who you are. The more that you know who you are, the more you're going to realize that this help is there for you at all times, 24 hours a day. Have you been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline? 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So anytime fear comes in, we have to push it out with that power. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is with that sound mind. A sound mind is one that understands how the power of God works. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. A mind that understands who you are. Remember that poem excerpt I read to you at the beginning of both parts 1 and 2 of this sermon. The last part read, and this is the last part that I read to you, so many times I have believed what others say I am. If I received affirmation, then I feel worthwhile. However, when I receive criticism, then I feel like a failure. I have chosen to ride the roller coaster of emotions instead of believing the truth of what God says about me. The poem goes on for a bit and says, one day, God gently said to me, stop trying so hard to prove yourself to others. Get your worth from me. I've already given it to you. So who am I? Let us be overwhelmed with this quick reference list from the sermon. And another minister has sent into me a number of other scriptures that I will be adding to posted version of this. So you will see in this list the definitive verse that we went through, and there'll be additional verses you'll see in the text. Who am I? I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. I am a holder of the Holy Spirit. I am a friend of Jesus. I am someone God thinks about. I am a child of God. I am a new creature in which all things are made new. I am a person looking for Christ. I am free from the law of sin and death. I am an heir of God. I am joint heir with Christ. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am part of a chosen race and a royal priesthood. I am a branch of the true vine. I am justified and redeemed. I am accepted by Christ to the glory of God. I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I am joined to Christ in one spirit. I am one who experiences triumph. I am a living sacrifice. I am one manifesting the savor of his knowledge. And that's when we talked about the sacrifices. I am in unity with other first fruits. I am free and distant from yokes of bondage. I am a receiver of many spiritual blessings. I am chosen holy and blameless before God. I am redeemed and forgiven by the grace of Christ. I am predestined by God to obtain an inheritance. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I have been a partaker of his death and resurrection, made alive, and see. I can see the glory of this plan of God. I am seated with Christ in heaven. I am created to produce good works. I am close to God by the blood of Christ. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a member of his body, flesh, and bones. I am bold and have confident access to God. I am righteous and holy. I am a light in the Lord. I am one whose heart and mind is guarded by God. I am one who is supplied by God. I am complete. I am raised up with Christ. I am a person whose spiritual life is hidden with Christ in God. I am a person who will be revealed in glory at the return of Christ. I am chosen and beloved by God. I am called to be a saint. I know my election to God. I am a person whose sins are canceled out. I love the brethren. I am cleansed from all unrighteousness. I am a person whose sins are forgiven for the sake of the name of Jesus. I am headed for victory. I am set free by Christ. I am strong in the Lord. I am dead to sin. I am more than a conqueror. I am accepted in Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. I am the light of the world. I am the righteousness of God. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am being changed into the likeness of Christ. I am a work of God that will be finished. I am receiving both grace and peace from God and Christ. I am firmly rooted in the faith and full of gratefulness and thankfulness. I am a citizen of the Church of God and a fellow citizen with all first fruits. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a first fruit who died with Christ. I have overcome the world. I am a person who can do all things through Christ. I have the ability and power to know spiritual things. I am a person who has Christ living in and through me. I am bold and have access any time to the throne room of God. I am a person who has a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. These are all the things that you are. This is the list that you can come to, and this is just the tip of the iceberg from the Word of God about who you are.